Psalm 136. This psalm is very repetitive, but the message of it is just absolutely profound. If you get raised up in a family that has a dad, and it seems like he's always there when you need him, he always has the answers to all your questions, and his answers are right. If something breaks, he knows how to fix it. If you have a need, he's going to be right there taking care of that need. He's going to watch over you. He's going to make sure you're protected. If you get into a situation not of your own choosing, he's going to be there to get you out of it. I mean, he's just a fantastic dad. You couldn't ask for anybody better. And you grow up in that kind of family, you realize the value of what you had when you were growing up, as you get to be an adult and then have your own family and realize how hard it is to be a mom and a dad. But yet you had a dad that seemed like he was perfect, and there wasn't anything he couldn't do. He was always kind and gentle, providing for the family, taking care of the family. Well, as believers, that's the kind of dad we have. Our God is that kind of dad. This psalm, the author is unknown. However, it's evident that the author was a person who wished to praise God, as this psalm is devoted directly to giving thanks to God. Now, the key element provoking this thanksgiving is the everlasting mercy of God. Everlasting, meaning it never ends. It never will end. Even when we are in eternity with the Lord, we will be there because His mercy is still everlasting. You ever think about the fact that if God wanted to, now that it's not going to happen, but just think with me for a moment. God gets us all into eternity and He looks at His Son and He says, you know, I don't like this setup. So, poof, we're gone. We're going to be with Him forever because He is ever merciful and, as Jeremy said in the beginning, unchanging. And we are privileged to enjoy that mercy every day, that goodness of God every day, that kind of a Father that the world can never, ever understand or know. And why anyone would not want that kind of a dad baffles my imagination. But you and I, who have Him as our Heavenly Father, we need to always remind ourselves of how good we really do have it. And though we may be going through a challenge at the time, or something happening, taking place, or something event occurs in our life that we weren't planning or wanting to happen, and it brings a strain on us, we still have a Father who loves and cares and is going to take good care of us and deliver us and guide and direct our path. This is the kind of Father that we have. And the psalmist talks about that. In the first three verses of this psalm, we have the call to give thanks. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for He is good, for His mercy endureth forever. Oh, give thanks unto the God of gods, for His mercy endureth forever. Oh, give thanks to the Lord of lords, for His mercy endureth forever. The first thing we see here is that God is good. God is the picture of all that is good. God equals good. Anything or anyone not displaying godly characteristic is not good. We have this kind of a Father. You observe Him, you observe what He's doing, and you see He's good. I mean, Jackie has related that in this experience in Gatlinburg. But yet at the same time, she has had a really difficult time from the fall that she took. Was God not good then? He was good then. And He has taken care of her and provided and met the needs that she has. And she's healing. Brian was telling me that she's back to tinkering with the ivory. And so he says he knows when that happens that she's getting better. She's healing. You know, just because God is good doesn't mean that we're never going to have some difficulties in our life. Gil and Julie yesterday saw the goodness of God, but it cost them a lot of sore muscles in the process, you know. But our God is good. And we need to be sure that we display that characteristic in our life. So the first verse tells us that God is good. In the second verse, it tells us that God is sovereign. And the third verse tells us that God is the master over all masters. He is the master. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord of lords, for his mercy endureth forever. He is the supreme master. And no other master has any ability to do what they do except God allows them to be able to do that. So the psalmist establishes right off the bat who it is that we are to give thanks to God. The second point is the reasons for giving thanks in verse 4 through verse 26. Verse number 4, to him who alone doeth great wonders, for his mercy endureth forever. God is the master of powerful, majestic, marvelous exhibitions of all sorts. And we've had some testimonies this afternoon of the marvelous, majestic, magnificent exhibitions of God in our personal lives. And we see this all the time. The goodness of God and the way he directs and the way he's there showing up. In verse number 5 through verse number 9. To him that by wisdom made the heavens, for his mercy endureth forever. To him that stretched out the earth above the waters, for his mercy endureth forever. To him that made great lights, for his mercy endureth forever. The sun to rule by day, for his mercy endureth forever. The moon and stars to rule by night, for his mercy endureth forever. We see the reason for giving thanks is he's the creator of the heavens, which includes all the elements of space above. In verse number 5, we see that all things in the heavens, known and unknown by man, were created by God speaking them into existence. And I like what the psalmist said here. He said, to him that by wisdom made the heavens. He just didn't fling something out there and it's just some big conglomeration of glob. It's strategically placed and it all functions together and it's just wonderfully made and it's just amazing what we have in the heavens. I mean, if you look at some of these pictures that come back to Earth from some of these satellites and you look at it and you're just, wow. You go out today. It's one of those times. You can go out and look at the clouds and just go, wow. This morning on our way to church, there were these clouds there. And it looked like it's going to rain. And right in the middle, there was this big opening and these huge, enormous gray clouds. And the blue sky was there. And it was just beautiful. It was like, you know, I'm looking for Jesus. It's that kind of mind picture that you have. Just in his wisdom, he created the heavens. And he put them all together by speaking them into existence. We learned that in the book of Genesis. In verse number 6, we see the earth and how it interacts with itself to maintain balance and provide a place for humanity to live. We don't just live here. We live here because God created an earth that allows us to be able to live on it. And all that we have and all that we're able to do, our gardens, our fruit, our vegetables, the meat that we eat here, whatever it may be, it's all because God created this earth to sustain all of that so that we as human beings are allowed to have a life on this earth. God did that. And it's just absolutely amazing. In verse 7 to 9, the sun and moon and their interaction with each other to provide the necessary light for humanity's survival day and night. We need those lights. We can't live without them. It'd be impossible for us to live without those lights. And so we see here, as the creator of the heavens, the psalmist says, this is reason to give thanks to this God of gods, for his mercy endures forever. In verse 10 to 26, we see him as the wonderful protector and provider for his people. Now here, this psalm is related to the nation of Israel. But the principle does not change. God protects and provides for His children. And you and I fall into that, and we learn from this the principle that we see here. So he says it's a wonderful thing to be able to praise Him for the wonderful protection and provision that He makes. First of all, in verse 10 through 15, to Him that smote Egypt in their firstborn, for His mercy endureth forever, and brought out Israel from among them, for His mercy endureth forever, with a strong hand and with a stretched out arm, for His mercy endureth forever. To Him which divided the Red Sea into parts, for His mercy endureth forever, and made Israel to pass through the midst of it, for His mercy endureth forever, but overthrow Pharaoh and his host in the Red Sea, for His mercy endureth forever. So the first thing here is God removed Israel from the slavery imposed upon them by Egypt. In verse 16 to 25, we see God as a wonderful protector and provider, guiding rebellious Israel through the wilderness journey. The reason they went through the wilderness was because of their rebellion. And God didn't have to do what He did. He could have said, okay, you know, you've made your bed, you sleep in it, I'm done with you. But He didn't, because His mercy endures forever. And He had made a covenant promise with the nation of Israel and with Abraham. He stayed true to it because His mercy endures forever. But let's never forget the stories that we read in the Old Testament about Israel and the wilderness journey was because they were rebellious. That's what got them in that journey. And they stayed a long time because they were rebellious in the journey. But because His mercy endures forever, God did not abandon them. He was there for them. We see, first of all, in verse 16 through verse number 20. To Him which led His people through the wilderness, for His mercy endureth forever. To Him which smote great kings, for His mercy endureth forever. And slew famous kings, for His mercy endureth forever. Sihon, king of the Amorites, for His mercy endureth forever. And Og, the king of Bashan, for His mercy endureth forever. As He guided rebellious Israel through the wilderness journey, He was protecting and delivering them from powerful rulers and nations. Two are listed here, Sihon, the Amorite king, who would not allow Israel to pass through their land. Israel, on their journey, asked permission to go through the land. We won't mess with anything. We won't damage anything. We won't eat your crops. We won't take your animals. We just need a pathway through your land to get where we're going. And Sihon says, it ain't going to happen. Matter of fact, I'm going to stop you from it happening. And he declared a war with them so they could not pass through. But they were defeated by God. God said, we're not going to have this happen. I'm not going to let this little king who thinks he's a big shot do this to my children. And therefore, God destroyed the nation. And that's in Numbers chapter 21. Og also, the king of Bashan, who also went to war with Israel. I mean, he didn't learn from Sihon and what experience they had. He had to have his own lesson. He's one of those hard-headed kings. So he learned the hard way, and the same thing happened to him. He went to war with Israel, and God defeated him too. And that's also in Numbers 21. These two kings and kingdoms were the first of many defeated by God on the behalf of Israel. And so, you know, often firsts we remember more than other things. And so here in Israel's history, as the psalmist is relating what he has learned and been taught through their history and whatever material they had to teach, he's remembering these two kings because they were the first. And so he, through inspiration, writes about them. So the protecting and delivering of them from the rulers of nations, B, providing earthly possessions for Israel along the way, verse 21. And He gave their land for an heritage, for His mercy endureth forever, even an heritage unto Israel his servant, for his mercy endureth forever. Who remembered us in our low estate, for his mercy endureth forever, and hath redeemed us from our enemies, for his mercy endureth forever. The land of these two kings and other lands became an heritage, a possession that God gave to Israel as an inheritance, since he, God, had created those lands in the beginning. When he created the earth, they ultimately belonged to God. He had allowed these two kings to rule over him for many years, but now he says, okay, those kings are gone, and I choose, since I own it, to give it to my children. For his mercy endures forever. So God provided for them. He took care of them. And note what we see here, verse 23, who remembered us in our low estate when we were not able to provide for ourselves, God provided for us. When we were not able to purchase this land, God gave it to us. So we see that God gave them these kingdoms at a time when they were unable to provide and protect for themselves. How many times has God done that in our lives? How many times has God opened the door when we couldn't open it? Or gave us a direction when we had no idea which way to go? How many times has God met a need that it was absolutely impossible for us to meet? How many times has God met a need before we ever had the need? And when the need arose, we know why God had made the provision. For his mercy endures forever. So we see the call to give thanks, the reasons for giving thanks. And then he says, he hath redeemed us from our enemies, verse 24, for his mercy endureth forever, who giveth food to all flesh, for his mercy endureth forever. So he provided the possessions they needed, he provided the protection they needed, and see, he provided the necessary food that they needed. So God, as a good dad, takes care of all aspects of the needs of his children and goes far beyond just the needs. They didn't need the land of these two kings, but God gave it to them, and it became their possession. The call to give thanks, the reasons for giving thanks, and third, the recognition of God's dwelling place. Verse 26, oh, give thanks unto the God of heaven, for his mercy endureth forever. Now, this is important to think about, because the God of heaven is the one who sits on a throne high above in a position of observing and controlling all that takes place in the universe. Think about that. We have a president that lives in a White House. The White House is known all over the world. There's a queen in England who lives in a castle. It's known all over the world. There are other rulers that live in strategic places that are known all over the world. But our dad sits on a throne that nobody else has ever sat on. Nobody else ever will sit on it. He is always going to be there, sitting on the throne in heaven, ruling and supervising the universe. And nobody can get up there and stop him. Nobody can change his plans. Nothing's ever going to mess up as far as his plans are concerned. His plans and his wills are going to happen just exactly the way he planned it to be. And the beauty of it is, focused around all that majesty and power, it's all controlled by mercy. His mercy endures forever. And so this sovereign ruler, although powerful to do as he wishes, chooses to be merciful to sinners. What a fantastic Father we have, and how privileged we are to know him as our dad in heaven in a free pardon of sin. And this sovereign God has given us the sinners the liberty to call him our dad, Abba Father. Daddy, Father, were blessed. And we see how blessed Israel was and how those principles apply to you and me. Thank you, Lord, for being so kind to us who are so undeserving. Thank you for the love and mercy you show to us every day that we live. We praise you for who you are. We give you back glory and honor. It's not much, Lord, because we're just sinful humans. But what we have is respect and honor and praise and glory. We gladly and freely give it back to you because you are worthy. Thank you for your mercy to us. Thank you. Thank you. Guide us through this week. May we be receptive to your leadership and submissive to your will. And we will thank you for what you accomplished because we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.